listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Are listening to Michael Sterling right now and
Paul Strolley. Yes, right. That's me. Thank you.
Hello, you handsome devil.
You'd pointed to me like I wouldn't know my name, like I had to answer the question.
You are. That's right.
Good to see you.
Inward. Thank you.
As nice always, you. Dashing as hell. I tell you, I never see you wearing the same clothes. You must be a major clothes horse. You must have closets for days.
Yeah.
You know, because you never have the same outfit on.
Somebody last week said, gee, what a nice shirt. And
that was me.
Was it you?
Yeah, I'm the only one who compliments you.
It was actually one of color. You know, I like these kind of earth tones and so forth more often than not. And I realized it had been hanging in the dressing room of my home for a year.
Wait a minute. Did you say the dressing room of your home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So you are a clothes horse then if you've assigned a room.
It's an actual dressing room.
Yeah, really?
It has a whole. It is surrounded by racks of clothes.
So do you sit in there like in the? Is there like a princess
chair?
Phone and bonbons and
it's
like?
It's not a princess phone, but it is. It's a beautiful leather chair and books next to it.
It's a painted couch. Yeah.
A settee.
Is there an assistant that helps you dress?
Pardon?
Is there someone that helps you dress also?
In my imagination, yes. There is. Yeah.
It's a mannequin. It's kind of creepy.
No, but it's actually kind of cool to go in there and kind of dress.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to pry into your personal
life. Please don't.
Okay. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project or dressing an actor. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our weekly live arts calendar.
And joining us in studio today, she founded the Musical Theater of Los Angeles in 2006 and has enjoyed a successful 5-year run as executive producer in addition to her other work as the founder of Los Angeles Youth Conservatory, an outreach program focusing on arts education for adults and children. Please welcome Bonnie McMahon.
Oh, yeah.
Hello. Bonnie, did we have the bells and whistles the last time you were here?
I actually I wanted that button.
Oh, okay.
I want the applause in my house.
We have different ones now that I'll drop them in between.
Did you get that?
Just spit all over the microphone.
You have to be careful on that word.
And some of them are a little, some of them are a little off-putting. So if at any point I feel like everything needs to be juiced, we'll just, add.
Oh my God!
Sorry.
What the hell was that?
That was woman screaming.
That was a woman screaming.
Yeah.
Sound like a child.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, I'm sorry. That's baby sounds.
There we go.
I was in the baby sounds section.
Nice.
I'm sorry.
I was shopping in the baby sounds section. Yeah. And joining us also, Paul, in studio, is what are we doing here? Where am I going?
No, you're right there. Also in studio with us today, right there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, I see what I did. I was starting to read your copy. Forgive me. In
today's episode is brought to you by Hooked on Phonics.
That's right.
Yes. Cool.
He is the co-founder and artistic director of Musical Theater of Los Angeles. He is a singer, a musician, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a producer who, with Bonnie McMahon, our guest, is producing a concert version of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat on February 15th at the Saban, is it Saban?
Saban.
Saban. Okay, that sounds much nicer than I just said it. Saban Theater in Beverly Hills. Give it up for Aaron Jacobs.
That's the kind of response I expect.
I like that one better.
It was either that or child hiccup. Figured you'd like to laugh a little better.
But before we get to our lovely guest, Paul, how was your week?
My week was good.
Yeah.
I got new headshots.
Oh.
Which is like a busman's tour of hell for me. I don't like getting my headshots done. But I did get them done by a lovely woman named Deidre Fahey, who took great pictures. Yeah. I was very grateful to her for that. And then I had to present them to the family for appraisal.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And that was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd the mom have to say?
Well, I don't want to be specific about which particular family member commented.
Oh.
We'll just say family in general commented on the UFO. And they're all they were complimentary. They were very complimentary. It's sort of the backhanded compliment. You know, it's like these are beautiful. These and what they did with your crow's feet, you know, because when you smile, you know, they just look like they're hacked into your face. So the way the lighting is very complimentary. And
she could have said nothing is that funny.
The lesion. Yeah, right. What is that joke?
Oh, it goes back to an old Wayland Flowers.
Remember Wayland Flowers and Madam the Puppet?
Remember, they're too young.
They are.
He has a
pass me my Sanka, would you?
A puppet that would say, that two puppets. One was this black hooker and the other was Madam. She had a TV series of her own. Madam, you don't remember that?
No.
Wayland Flowers and Madam. Anyhow, the hooker said, what are those crow's feet around your eyes, Madam? And she said, those aren't crow's feet, those are laugh lines. And the hooker said, nothing could be that funny.
Wow.
Yes. But I mean, just, you know, they're very complimentary, but they're complimentary in sort of, like I said, the backhanded way.
Yeah.
Your hair looks great, Paul. Very gray. Very gray, though. But it looks good. You pull it off. I guess you have to get pictures more frequently now because of your hair being so gray. yes, I do.
But
yes,
you don't take a bad picture. You know that.
No, I did. Well, you know, it's just that you see pictures and you just like, you know, you have this frozen image of what you looked like and you want to be that same thing. And then you're not and you just have to realize you're not. And, you know, but, you know.
But you still, you always take very nice pictures. And you also, as an actor, which he is an actor, you know, he does it once a year. So that's kind of what actors should do.
And I tell you, people don't. And when we were having auditions for the various Seaglass productions, I can't stress this enough. When you have your photos, have them be current.
Yeah.
Because you bring people in and you pour over those pictures.
Yeah.
And then you bring in this person, it's just like, this is not you.
Yeah.
This is not you.
It's
you know,
amazing.
And
it's not supposed to be a glamour shot.
No, exactly. Yeah. It's supposed to be accurate.
Right.
Exactly.
And you know, there's also something that's a little bit of a trend with headshots these days, and it's these kind of Technicolor photographs. Have you seen these?
Oh yeah, they have these big mauve backgrounds or fancy backgrounds.
Well, no, I mean even the coloration on the person's face is all very Technicolor.
Really?
And it's kind of a stylized thing that is sweeping. It's mostly with younger actors, I see, but...
It's the new thing?
Yeah.
What is it, just like photoshopped, or...?
No, I mean, it comes out of the production house, you know, when they have the shots done.
Are you sure the shots look that way, Michael? And maybe you're not just sort of dipping into hallucinogenics before you do your casting?
No.
It wasn't the color of her face. It was the spiders in her eyes. That really threw
me. No, we've had, you know, we just
had... There's nothing like you.
There is some red and blue and green and yellow.
That's magical.
You know, the stage star auditions, we saw, you know, hundreds of kids, and this is where we're seeing all this kind of stuff. You know,
I'm having a hard time imagining what it is you're describing. You'll have to show me one of the pictures.
I will, indeed. And speaking of things, and something very nice happened today. I got a nice phone call today from a friend of mine, and I do want to share this with you, because I'm so proud of him, and his name is Sammy Williams. You probably know who Sammy is. He won a Tony Award for his performance in creating the role of Paul.
First Paul DeMarco on Chorus Line. Created the role of Paul.
No. Yes.
Wow.
On Broadway. And
he was our guest a few weeks
recently,
back. Lovely man.
Yeah.
He has been, you know, such an iconic role. Mm-hmm. And one would have thought that his career would have just, you know, gone on from there. And it took some different turns that was unexpected. And I was able to, when we became friends, he was with he was needing a better agent than what he had, and I had the opportunity to put him in that situation, and he's not been with him very long, and Sammy calls me this morning, and he said, just want to say, because of you, I have just been cast by Stephen Sondheim in Follies.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
At the Amundsen Theater.
Oh, wow.
That's
wonderful.
Follies is coming to the Amundsen.
So this is his first major show again since almost A Chorus Line.
Wow. Amazing.
I mean, he certainly worked in between those years, but not.
Yeah, because he talked about a number of the things in between, but
same stature.
It was fascinating having him here because he was talking about just the creation of the show and how much of the stories were their personal stories. And like, didn't he say that his story actually got applied to a different actor in the line?
Yes.
Like the way they had to break them up rhythmically for the narrative. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating. That to me would be really interesting to have your little piece of your biography, a 18, 19, 20-year-old person.
Right.
You know, those stories so treasured and then... The guy four people to your right says it, you know.
It'd probably be better.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, saying your own stories are sometimes a lot more difficult than having somebody else retell it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, yeah. And it would be more, it would be freer to be directed, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you wouldn't be talking to the creator of it. You just,
no,
it's not his story. That's why we can morph it,
right.
You know. We have two guests that we've introduced them.
Oh, we do?
Oh, yeah. But yes, we do, and we should talk to them further. So let me give them the, at least to start with the intros they are so justly due. As I mentioned earlier, our next guest is the founder and executive director of Musical Theater of Los Angeles, and her producing credits include the Musical Theater of Los Angeles Broadway Review 2007, Broadway Review 2008, Chicago, which was Ovation Award nominated, Andrew Lippa's The Wild Party, Jason Robert Brown's The Last 5 Years, Ragtime the Musical, which is an NAACP Award recipient, West Side Story, Cabaret, Oklahoma. If only they did good shows there. And Chess in Concert. Please welcome Bonnie McMahon once again. Nicely done. How are you?
I'm great.
You glad to be back?
Yes, I'm thrilled to be back.
Digging the hair.
Thank you.
Digging the hair. Works for you.
Thank you, thank you. You know, I'm getting used to it still.
Yeah?
I look in the mirror, I'm like, who is that?
Yeah.
Was that a creative decision? Was it just a role? Was it
I wanted to change. I've been blonde for, I don't know, 10 years, and platinum blonde, like the big blonde. So I just was ready to...
The
big blonde.
Yes.
Not a subtle blonde.
Yeah.
No, I did a show a couple years ago, and I wore a black wig, and it was really fun. I thought, I can maybe do this, and so I was just ready for change.
Well, you can. You can do it very well.
That's nice. I like it.
Yeah. She's a classy lady. She always looks beautiful. And
thank you.
Yes.
She's a very nice woman on top of it.
Yeah, so. She is.
And very creative. And
yeah, just keep reading
smart.
The cards, Michael. Just keep reading the cards. She's holding them up so you can see them. So.
We rehearsed.
The cue cards. So, first of all, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. Michael and I were talking earlier in the lobby. We were talking. I don't know why I'm gesturing so big.
You're gesticulating.
I have tree frog hands and pterodactyl arms anyway. But
so where's the lobby again? That way.
The lobby is over there. Yes, all the way out there. Michael and I were talking about how lucky I was when I was growing up, because I grew up in Connecticut, and it was I graduated from high school in 82. So right around that time, it was a very fertile Broadway time, Evita and Joseph and the first Amadeus. And I got to see the original casts of all of these shows.
Oh, nice.
And I did not get to see, it was already a huge Rice and Weber. Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Right.
But yes, because Joseph was sort of a school project for them, wasn't it? It was like this, they wrote it as a pageant for their boys' school and then just expanded on it later. Okay.
Yeah, just really developed, yeah.
Well, it actually went to the Ford Theater in Washington, D.C. and was developed by, you know, outside producers with them and in Washington, D.C. had a fine life there, and that was the prelude to Broadway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because one of the things I dig so much about the musical and is that it. I don't know of another one that has more varied musical styles in it.
Oh my goodness.
It's like it has everything.
Every
it has calypso.
It's missing a rap.
It's missing a rap. I don't think it needs a rap. But that's just
nobody needs a rap.
No.
So was it just a? I'm always curious about this. Was it just something you picked? Is it decided by committee? How does that work?
No, the seed was kind of planted the summer last year when we were doing the showcase. And the team I was working with at the time, we were just discussing, and it really comes down to fundraising and how hard it is to do. And we just thought, let's just get a big theater. Let's do it. You know, let's do kind of a concert Staples, you know, center style of the show, and really just pack it in, because it's just so hard to generate the funds to keep going. And thought, well, if there's one thing we can do, it's put on a good show and sell tickets. So, you know, it just really, it's been organic the whole time. You know, the idea came up with my team, and then, you know, we were going to be in an auditorium, and then it's just really developed and grown into this huge, huge event. And it's been amazing, absolutely amazing.
So now, it's like a choral presentation of it.
Yeah, it's a concert style. Yeah. I mean, you know, we did chess in concert, so it's similar to that. You know, it's we have about 50 kids singing in the choir, and then we have like our MTLA company playing the brothers and the wives in the ensemble, and then we've got the principals. You know, we have some of the celebrity attachment and the Broadway cameos and.
So if I remember correctly, and I saw it, and Michael, you know this better than I, because you're more familiar with the show. But if I remember correctly, it's a perfect show for a choral presentation.
Absolutely.
Because it's not really a dance heavy show.
Well, you can add it. We are adding the dancing. But yeah, it is. I mean, it's really a concert.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the thing. It flies. So
right.
We're doing it without an intermission, and I mean, every song is just one great song after.
Because
another.
It's all sung.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's perfect for a concert. Really is. It's just glorious, the sound that we have.
Oh, man. And, of course, our dear friend David Burnham is playing Joseph.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
David Burnham, homely fellow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We had him here. Horribly disfigured man.
No.
Yeah. Just terrible.
He is lovely.
Lovely man.
Sweet guy.
And spectacular.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
We're
really
very
lucky.
Generous. We're really lucky.
And the greatest entrance of all in musical history, I do believe, is Pharaoh's entrance in this. Is Lorenzo wearing the tight pants?
We're going to keep that as a surprise.
Okay.
Our director has this amazing entrance for him, so you'll have to come and see it.
Yes.
But Lorenzo is perfect.
Yeah?
He's a perfect Pharaoh.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. And what's the other great role? There's a great... I love the Potiphar. Is it Potiphar? Is
that Potiphar.
Potiphar.
Mm-hmm. Potiphar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I always wanted to play that role.
Yeah.
I got a chance to.
Mr. Yeah. Potiphar.
And, of course, I must have not gotten the call for this, so I have to update the contact information.
We need to see those new headshots.
Yes.
You know who else?
You're too old for Potiphar.
I just must say.
Yes, Mrs. Vaccaro.
Really. This is terrible. I cough on the radio. No, Tony Mansour, you know.
Yes.
Did Pharaoh with Billy Hutton. And several times.
Really?
He's a fantastic Pharaoh. Yeah.
Yeah. He would do that beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did it beautifully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a really fun show. It really is. Yeah.
Yeah. The energy is really good around it.
Yeah.
Let's find the Michael. Do you have the information for folks listening to go to attend this thing?
I do indeed, and it's at the Saban Theater in Beverly Hills, and it's coming up Wednesday, February 15th, and of course it stars, as we just said, David Burnham in the title role, and the heartthrob that he is, I guess, to many, many people around the world, Lorenzo Lamas, as the Pharaoh. And it's one night only, ladies and gentlemen, and as Ms. McMahon just said, performances include a large and star-studded cast, Broadway-sized orchestra, 60 or 50, did you say?
We're 50 now, yeah.
50-member youth choir, which should be very exciting. It's kind of a Technicolor red carpet, if you will, beginning at 6:30 p.m., and the concert itself begins at 8 p.m. And immediately following the show, they have an exclusive VIP post-concert event, which will combine performances by Swing Dames, the MTLA Dancers, that's the Musical Theater of Los Angeles Dancers, Sons of August, and more. And this also, I find fascinating, is benefiting not only Musical Theater of Los Angeles, Paul, but Josh Groban's Find Your Light Foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is that? I saw that
it's
listed.
Arts Foundation. Aaron, you might want to elaborate.
Sure.
On that.
It's they are based in providing funding for music education, music supplies. They support a lot of various music-oriented organizations around the country. It started with he was getting a whole collection of different things. All his fans kept sending him tchotchkes and things, and they just said, you know, we should just channel this into something really beneficial. So he developed the Find Your Light Foundation, and we thought it was a perfect marriage with what we do, in developing our youth program and providing music education for children and championing music education. So that's what it's
super
about.
Important.
Yeah. Oh, very much so. Very
super
much
important.
So.
And his parents are also on your honorary host committee, I
that's
see
right.
here.
That's right.
Along with the lovely Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah, I'm reading the honorary host committee thing. It's like a who's who.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Brian Cranston.
Lucky. Yeah.
And here's great the real deal, folks. Tickets in the orchestra. Really, for this kind of a show, $100. And you know you can spend that at the market in 15 minutes. So go to the theater and spend it.
Yeah.
Or you can get them for half that price, approximately a little less than half, $45, up in the balcony, which is beautiful in that theater, $25.
The 45 is the mezzanine, 25 is the balcony.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
I'm just staying on top of it, Michael.
Oh, thank you.
Because we'll get letters.
Somebody sure.
I was told the mezzanine was 25. Up here getting a friggin' nosebleed for $25. Sorry.
The Savant Theater is at 8440 Wilshire Boulevard in the heart of beautiful Beverly Hills. And cocktail attire, thank goodness, is required.
Oh, and also VIP tickets, $150. That includes the show,
right.
A post-reception, hosted bar, food, and massage. Did
there you
see that?
Yes, massage. I saw that. My eye went right to that word.
Yeah. A massage does leap out at you.
It does.
The poster.
Yes.
Yeah. No, everything but the aforementioned massage.
And Mark Rosano is directing it. So how? And musical director Greg Hockey. Is it Hock or
Hockey?
Hockey.
Yeah.
Who is your musical theater
resident,
of Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
resident director. And I see James Lent being assistant musical director. He's amazing. Everybody's amazing in this show. Every credit I'm looking at here.
And I'm happy to see that there's a couple of our past guests on the honorary host committee. Sally Struthers, who's been on the show a couple of times with us. Judy Norton from the Waltons.
Judy.
Who was on, she was on twice, wasn't she?
Just once.
But what was the, didn't she come back to talk about her book?
Maybe she did. Maybe she came back with the other Walton sister.
Yeah. Yeah. No, when Michael Learned was going to be on. Mm. And then Michael Learned could come on. It was like an all Waltons Monday.
Yeah.
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 And
it's my type of Monday.
Brian Cranston, who's the nicest guy in the world. I did one episode of Malcolm in the Middle with him.
Okay, yeah.
And I have since become it's a bad joke. I say I've since become a junkie for Breaking Bad because it's such a great show and so addicted
to
that.
He's amazing.
He's and just a sweet, sweet man.
Yeah.
Very, very nice.
Absolutely.
And
his
very,
wife
very talented.
Is a friend of mine. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, so very lucky to have him.
That's great.
Here's the
most
important piece of information we can give you, ladies and gentlemen, about going to attending this amazing evening is to simply, and it is simple, go to the musicaltheaterla.org website, and you can purchase your tickets there, right?
Yep. And it's theater with an R-E.
That's correct.
Theater R-E.
The affected spelling.
The affected spelling.
Yes.
The English spelling.
Yes.
The English spelling.
Yeah.
Musicaltheaterla.org, not .com. Yes.
Right. And you can also follow them on Twitter at Joseph in Concert. Twitter.
I still haven't figured Twitter out. I still haven't done it.
It's a whole new world.
It is completely new. Yeah, we're figuring it out.
We've
but
gotten
it works.
Lessons and hashtags and...
@
We don't like that kind of language on the show, mister.
Sorry, I get carried away.
Again, the kids.
You leave your hashtags outside. We're
right,
an arts show.
I'll take them out now. Outside.
But you know, the event, the reception afterwards is a show in itself. I mean,
it sounds
really,
it.
It's quite
it sounds
something.
It.
Yeah.
So what's this? It's Saban Theater?
Saban. Mm-hmm.
And how big is the venue?
You've heard of them. You have their.
It was the.
I'm actually an idiot, Saban. So I
know.
Oh. Just because you thought it was Cinnabon.
Oh,
stop it. My sides. At least I found it funny.
No, you used to refer to this theater as Cinnabon. So I didn't tell you that.
I had it. Do you know when, what's his name? Louis C.K. had the greatest joke. He said, do you know when you know you're a really pathetic Cinnabon junkie? You know, because the Cinnabon, mm-hmm. Those people.
Okay,
he said, when you go to the Cinnabon at the airport you arrived at. And you get Cinnabon before you go to pick up your bag, you know you have a problem.
Yeah.
I just thought that was very clever.
It's understandable, though.
How? Yes, it is. I mean, I can't do that anymore. Because I got...
Because the statistics on them are disgusting. I mean, they're like, they're two Big Macs. They're worth two Big Macs.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Well, actually, for me, that wouldn't upset me so much. I just got incredibly spoiled by Ann Sather's in Chicago.
Mm.
Ann Sather's is a little Swedish chain. They have about four restaurants in and around Chicago. And they have the cinnamon that's, you know, the cinnamon roll that's like
the
size of your head.
Wow.
And,
oh, really?
You know, it's brought over in a hand truck. And there's a side of insulin dipping sauce or something.
It's horrid.
It's great. So the Saban Theater, how big is it?
It's 1,900 seats.
Oh, wow. It's a big room.
It's gorgeous.
Okay.
That's absolutely just the gorgeous. Same theater that was host to the National Company of Cabaret when it came through. When it completely redid itself on the inside and took out all the seats and had the cocktail tables.
I don't know. It was the Wilshire Theater.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Same theater.
On Wilshire and Lasinga. Huh.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah, when Terry Hatch was starring in the national tour and he swept through here and played there for quite a while, actually.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. They took out all those seats in the orchestra section and they built... you know, different levels.
Like the risers. Studio 54.
Exactly. And, did the cocktail table thing.
That's what we tried to... Well, what we did.
Well, but you did it
in
very effectively.
In the 99-seat version.
Very effectively.
It is a little, it's a little terrifying standing on that stage looking... We're used to the black boxes, and it feels like a mansion. You know, it's a big house.
Yeah.
So it's our version of the Tonys. It's definitely a magical night.
How big's the orchestra?
10.
Wow.
Yeah, we have my first orchestra pit. Mm-hmm. I know.
Is it rising? Is it a rising orchestra pit?
I think so.
It's about 3 feet deep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So they don't have to rise much.
Yeah, they don't. They don't
actually. We're taking out seats for it.
Yeah.
We just came from the theater. We got all the.
Is that why you were so verhuddled?
Yes.
Yes.
When you arrived, isn't that a great word, verhuddled?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's my wife's family's word.
Verhuddled.
German, Austrian, Austro-Hungarian. Verhuddled means all over the place. Verhuddled. Great word.
That's a good word.
Write it down. We'll wait. Go ahead. Write it down.
Is that with a PH or an F?
Don't make me gesture again. Don't make me gesture large.
Beware.
Michael, we should do our arts calendar.
We should.
You want to kick it off?
I would be happy to. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, how about this? Set in the golden age of Hollywood, Sharon Michaels' timeless whodunit sidetracked, directed by Ray Rochelle, finds five passengers waiting to board the train at LA's Union Station, and each of them has a motive for the murder that's been just discovered. This gripping dramedy pays homage to an earlier era with nods to film noir Bogart and Bergman, and Fred and Ginger, too. Sidetracked plays through February 19th at the Matcha. Is it Matcha or Maca? Does anyone know?
Saban, actually.
Okay. Well, I'm going to spell it. It's M-A-C-H-A. Unless that's a typo, then it would be the Macho Theater.
Yes.
In West Hollywood. Tickets are available.
If it's in West Hollywood, it's probably a Macho Theater.
There you go. Tickets are available at plays411.com/sidetracked. For further information about any productions and or events mentioned on our arts calendar today, since it was only one, we're talking about Sidetracked at the Macho or Matcha Theater. And you can visit us, of course, on stateoftheartsla.com. That'll give you more information. And we also suggest, man, what's happening to me?
He's drunk. He's so drunk.
Drinking,
Got to cut back.
Yeah.
At performingartslive.com, which is our good friends over there. It is the most sophisticated, lovely site you'll want to go to for everything happening in Southern California every day of the week.
And we'd also like to thank Anderson Trophy Company of North Hollywood. Since it is award season, what better sponsor to have than one that makes some of the most beautiful awards and trophies for any and every occasion? And I know this to be so because I remember they supplied the awards for your LA's Next Great Stage Star last year, and they were beautiful pieces.
Yes, and they're doing it again.
They are.
Yes, they are.
Beautiful.
They're very kind.
Beautiful craftsmanship there. Be it arts, sports, or corporate events, Anderson has been providing quality trophies for decades. And for more information about their products and how you can benefit by having the best for less, call Anderson Trophy Company at 818-765-3770. That's 818-765-3770. And I'm still waiting for the trophy from you for, you said best co-host, you were going to get me a little thing.
Yeah, well,
just a little
yeah.
bust of me.
Yes. You know,
a bust.
Okay.
Not so little. You know.
Well, since the implants, yes. You know. If you could just have them make sure no profiles.
No profiles. Damn it, they already started.
Yes. Well, it's just, it'll save you a lot.
Really?
If you don't do the profile.
Will you have any room on that mantle of yours?
Lady! Hey, lady. we should introduce our next guest.
I think so.
I will do that.
Sounds good.
Can I? Do you
yes,
mind?
Yes, you may.
Okay. Because I'm interested in how you two started working together. I want to talk about that. As I mentioned earlier, our next guest is the co-founder and artistic director of Musical Theater of Los Angeles. His latest endeavor with Bonnie McMahon is the concert version of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in concert at the Saban Theater, which is just a macho room, in Beverly Hills, which will be headlined by Broadway's spectacular David Burnham in the title role and television heartthrob Lorenzo Lamas as the Pharaoh. Please welcome Aaron Jacobs.
My joke wasn't as funny this time.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? We have another intro, which Michael is really sick of hearing, but I'm going to throw it in one more time before we remove this sound file. Yes. This is Please Welcome Aaron Jacobs. Better,
nice.
Huh?
I like that one.
I thought you liked that. Do you, Aaron?
Yeah, I'm a closeted classic rock guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Some of your favorites.
Right.
Of the old days.
Old Chicago.
Really?
I love old Chicago and stuff. Journey, some selected Boston. Well, Janis Joplin.
I was listening to Janis today on the treadmill, and it's really... You can do very well with your heart rate on the treadmill listening to Janis Joplin.
I bet.
They were just so thought through.
Yeah.
Everything that they did, all the music was so thought through and rhythmically and instrumentally and chorally. It was really...
And anthemic and theatrical.
Yes.
Like there's a broad theatricality to it. I mean...
What was that word you used?
Anthemic.
Nice.
Like is that correct? Did I use it correctly?
Mm-hmm.
Like an anthem?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, one of the... I mean... Meatloaf's album Bad Out of Hell is truly know why it's not a theater piece. It should be a theater piece because it's just like everything's there.
Yeah.
They are barn burner rock tunes that are just so overblown and theatrical and large.
Absolutely.
And wonderful. I can't believe no one's ever done it. Because they do it with the other, you know, there's been little dips. Well, what's the big
Tommy.
Musical now? Rock of Ages?
Yep.
Based on the 80s?
Well, it's based on 80s music.
Right.
You know, the storyline is very, very thin on it, but it's charming, and it's a heck of a show. Yep. It really is. It's just a
have you seen it?
Good show. Yeah.
What was
it's coming back, actually.
Too. Was it here?
Yeah.
Oh, it was that real short run at Pantages?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I didn't see that.
It's coming back coming up.
Yeah.
Soon.
So how did you two start working together? How did it come about?
I'll let you answer that, Aaron.
Yeah, well, and I will, although I appreciate the co-founder credit, I will correct. I am not the co-founder of MTLA, although I would have liked to have been. But I am the co-executive producer of this project, and I met Bonnie during Ragtime.
Oh, okay.
I played younger brother, and it was a pretty amazing experience together, and... worked with MTLA gladly on Cabaret, and Bonnie came up to me. I had another show called Spotlight Cabaret that I produced for 4 years, and I produced various projects, and Bonnie said, I'm doing this concert. We should...
I need you. Help me.
And you had already worked together, so you knew that you... Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. And
This is so far, I like this operation. This
yeah.
Has been going
right.
Well.
We have a good marriage going on.
Yeah. A really good balance. So.
And the was it odd if you'd only worked with him theatrically before, and then in a producing capacity, was that a bit of an adjustment or?
We had a little run with it during Cabaret, and you know, I've called him for help. I can't find a piano player in the next 5 minutes, and that sort of thing. So we've kind of worked together a little bit on the production end of things. So I knew this would work. Yeah.
And around a lot of my friends, I tend to be the person who knows people.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You cultivate relationships.
Yeah, apparently.
That he does.
Beyond what I realize. Yeah, they people need something. Electronics.
Oh, one of those kinds of friends.
He's a theatrical pusher.
Little plush toy.
Yeah.
Well, but he's also an amazing performer himself. He really is a beautiful singer, and he's currently working on the Fiddler on the Roof, which is getting ready to open.
Oh, where's that opening?
Yeah.
At the Glendale Center Theater.
Oh, Glendale. Mm-hmm. Oh, we love that place.
Yeah.
So who are you playing in Fiddler?
I am Mendel, the rabbi's son.
The rabbi's son?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
The underappreciated rabbi's son.
The underappreciated
yes,
rabbi's
always keeping
son.
Everybody in track. On track.
Much like you do in real life.
In real right? life, that's right.
He's a rabbi's son who knows how to get things.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes.
It should be a good
especially
thing to be.
With,
especially back then when they
yeah,
had nothing.
Electronics, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that what Tevye actually did? It wasn't really milk. It was Walkmen and iPods.
Well, that's what that's what the rich man did.
Yeah, that's what
that's
the
rich man
yeah.
did.
Yeah.
But
I tell you that to me just I've been going off on a tangent about other topics here, but that's one of the examples that I think that the film really honored the play.
Mm.
That it was, you know, because so much of the time it was someone in the lobby who was doing for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Yep. And not that I consider you an authority on that play. I was just wasn't sure if I got it right. But you looked like you were nodding like
I would have nodded called. Under any circumstances.
You would have, yes. Would have, yeah. But we were talking about how the play to the film,
yeah.
One is one. You know, piece of art, and mm-hmm. the other is another, and it does not always work out. Mm-hmm. I don't think it worked out with For Color Girls, the film, because the play is so beautiful in its economy and so sparse and so poetic. And I just thought that I've seen both the play of Fiddler and the film of Fiddler, and I thought that, you know, separate but wonderful for their own thing. And the fact that Norman Jewison had the mindset to make it more real, because they almost didn't fund it because he wouldn't use Zero Mostel, and they were just like, you have to use Zero Mostel, and he's like, Zero Mostel is going to be too big for this production, and
right.
it has to be a true Eastern European character, and I thought Topol just burned it down. I thought it was great.
Well, who's also toured in it? After.
Yes,
yeah.
He's actually played
it touring.
Longer. Yeah,
yeah. It's like
yeah.
his last tour or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's the King and I of, you know, he's the Yul Brynner of Tevye.
Yeah,
he's
done it,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly. And one of your, and isn't Herschel Bernardi, didn't he also play that role?
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Her,
yeah.
One of her company members at one point, or at least a gentleman that was in Cabaret, Michael Bernardi, Herschel's son, was taking on his father.
I think Herschel Bernardi didn't he do the first Broadway revival?
He did. Yes, the first Broadway revival, yeah.
Yes, okay. Yeah. That's where I remember his name from. No. So that's at Glendale Center Theater.
It is. It
great
is.
Little...
It opens this weekend. Not this weekend, excuse me. It opens, yes, it does.
This weekend.
Give me a
this
joke.
Coming
this
weekend.
Weekend. The 9th,
oh,
10th,
so you,
and 11th.
On the 9th. So you don't have anything on your dance cred these
no,
days. You're
no,
not,
I'm
you're not busy
I'm,
at all.
No, no. What? Let's go out for a dinner or something. What time is it? It's beyond noon.
You're probably ready for one about now.
Oh yeah,
imagine.
I'm I'm on break until after Joseph.
I didn't want to say anything about what you brought into the lobby, but it looked a lot more like a shaker than a thermos. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
The olives.
Excuse me. I bring it wherever I go.
But I'm so excited for this thing that you guys are doing. This
Thank
just
you.
Sounds
Thank you.
Like especially, you know, just there's very few places you can go in L.A. that are not the Amundsen or, you know, the Mark Taper that are really grand houses, mm-hmm. big
yeah.
rooms
this
that is... have some majesty to them.
And this has.
It's yeah. such a beautiful
and it
theater.
And it has that old charm, you know, like the Orpheum or the mm-hmm. Pantages. It's mm-hmm. got this old ornate
the Egyptian
silver gold leaf paint going
yeah,
on.
Kind of an Art Deco.
Yeah.
yeah, it's just, it's a stunning space. Yeah.
I love to be in empty theaters. Don't you love to
oh,
walk
yeah.
theaters
yes.
when they're empty? Isn't
absolutely.
That the best?
Best feeling.
It
just
is.
It smells
isn't it?
Really good.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did a show.
It's a sanctuary. Yeah.
Yeah. I did the show, the one man show that I did for years. I did at the Tarrytown Playhouse. You want to talk about getting nervous before going out? But the Tarrytown Music Hall in Tarrytown, New York, which is also known as Sleepy Hollow, because that's where Washington Irving lived when he wrote the whole legend of Sleepy Hollow thing. And, you know, you go in, and it's just, it's a massive room. It's far too big for my show. We pared it down because it was a one-man show. But then you're backstage, and you're just reading about the people who have performed there.
Yeah.
Wow. The opening night. And you know who the opening night performer was? Mark Twain.
Wow.
Mark Twain.
Wow.
Opening
amazing.
Mark Twain, Michael.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy.
No, yeah. Nothing to live up to with my little
and the
ditty.
Twain sisters.
Yeah, right.
The Twain sisters.
Yeah.
they got around. They got around.
That's amazing, Paul.
Yeah, that was
Tarrytown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, Tarrytown Music Hall. We did our regional spotlight for
yes,
Tarrytown
we did.
Musical.
We
great,
did,
great
we
theater. But it just exactly what came to mind when you're talking about these grand old houses.
Yeah.
So let's do this info again so that
yeah,
we can
one more
reiterate
time.
And let people know this is Musical Theater of Los Angeles presenting Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in concert. This is Wednesday, February 15th. That's a week from this Wednesday.
That's right.
Yes. And that is, she's hyperventilating. Meow, meow. Just get to your happy place. Meow, 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 meow. There you go.
That's what I brought the martinis for.
Yeah, that's for me.
Just breathe into the brown paper bag. And it's a one night only event. And this is a, well, with the 50 member youth choir, which will probably be up to 75 by the time
exactly.
the show actually
exactly.
happens.
Exactly.
There is a Technicolor red carpet beginning at 6:30 p.m. So it's Technicolor, but it's actually red. But it's
Technicolor.
It's actually Technicolor.
Oh, it is Technicolor.
We thought if we put Technicolor carpet, people would be like, what?
Much like the youthful headshots I've heard tell
yes.
of.
Yes.
These Technicolor headshots,
yes.
which
go.
I still have to
yes.
see. That starts at 6:30. The in-concert performance starts at 8. And immediately following the show is the exclusive VIP post-concert event, which will combine performances by Swing Dames, the MTLA Dancers, Sons of August, and more. And that is also benefiting Josh Groban's Find Your Light Foundation, as Michael mentioned. Mm-hmm. And starring the unfortunately homely David Burnham and the national tour and the sweetest guy in the world.
So sweet.
You know, anyone that good looking does not have to be that nice. And yet he is.
Yes,
but he is.
He
yes.
really
that's why,
is.
That's why he's good looking.
Yeah. Is that why?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if he was a jerk, he'd be ugly.
You
that's
think?
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
Sure.
It'd be like a shallow hell.
I
thing.
Mean, it'd be like over in 2 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
Done with that.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. Yeah. No, he is indeed.
I like him.
And a good friend of our show. And then Lorenzo Lamas. He ain't so bad on the eye either, I
no,
guess.
No, he's
huh?
not.
A very pretty cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very pretty cast.
We got the prettiest cast.
Yes.
Musical theater. And the tickets, once again, orchestra $100, mezzanine $45, balcony $25, and of course this VIP ticket package, which includes the show, post-reception, hosted bar, and food, $1.50, $150. Where are you going to do better than that?
As
you know,
I said, you can go to the market.
You're
going to
do that just
that
going.
And
yeah.
He's, you know, upset when you got home because you didn't get very much for it.
Yeah, I spent.
This is a place you get your dollar, your money's
exactly.
worth.
Exactly.
Right?
$150. Do you know how quickly I can drop that in a bar? Of course,
yeah.
I have
in
a problem. This is at
you
this.
You know, a little food on the side, it goes by very quickly.
It does. And it's a lightning show. It's, like you said, no intermission.
Nope.
Just all
by.
Sung.
Yeah.
So, but because that's. Well, that's a whole nother conversation, but I go into a theater and if I pick up the program and I look and it's like, you know, when you see those two intermissions, you're just like, oh.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a no intermission guy.
Yeah.
I'm like, let's get it done.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm
really love theater,
yeah.
but I'm like,
exactly.
let's do it.
But it's not a matter of, you know, a great way to put it, it's not a matter of getting it over with. It's a matter of energy, and it's
yeah.
a matter of
yeah.
keeping the pacing
yeah.
up. And I've always felt like 75 minutes, 90 minutes is the maximum.
Yeah.
Don't you think, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wait till you take the biggest... slug of water possible.
Right.
So, Michael, nuclear disarmament. Discuss. Right there.
You're wow. going to pay for that, Stroller.
I will.
Yes, you will.
The Saban Theater. That's 8440 Wilshire Boulevard in beautiful downtown Beverly Hills. And cocktail attire is required. You said earlier when you described it, you said, thank God. Now, is it just because you feel like it's you know, dressing nice for the theater is a lost art?
Yeah, indeed.
Because you always
do. There's no question
do.
About it. Well,
yeah.
I do, but yeah. it doesn't mean that other people do. Like
it's
they should
very
do.
It's very upsetting.
No,
no it's
yeah,
true. I hate
it
when
is.
People are in jeans at the
jeans and shorts
yeah.
and T-shirts and...
Flip-flops.
You know,
yeah.
Flip-flops, yeah.
That's
in
true.
Vegas, they barely even have that on.
Mm.
And I think,
tell you, when you're in Vegas, you only need to find the worst-dressed people and you know the Americans. No, you do, because
that's
the tourists
true.
Dress much
that's
better.
True.
The German tourists,
yeah.
the Italian tourists.
They're probably shocked when they come over.
Oh,
if
yeah.
it's the first time.
Yeah, No, it is. It's just, we
that's
just
embarrassing.
And in Vegas, you know, the hotels are very, you know, most of them are very swank and glamorous.
Yeah.
And for people to be walking around in that environment, does it really make sense?
I know.
None of that city makes sense, but yeah. It does. But then it does.
I wish I could just for, you know, if I had a time capsule, just maybe one or two nights in Rat Pack Vegas in like 1967.
Yeah. That'd have been awesome.
And just,
well, you know my famous story about my nightclub and somebody walking in, which you know people do dress for. They dress nicely when they come in, and somebody comes through. We used to have a comedy show that followed our shows.
Oh, I remember this. Yes.
And this was early on in the life of the nightclub, so back in 2006, and the late night comedy was just starting there, and my crowd was still lingering and doing that schmooze that they do after, you know, an act has performed. And the I saw this big fellow, you know, 6'4", walking through the club doors, coming in, and I turned around, and he said, "Excuse me, is this the comedy, where the comedy is?" And I said, "No." And everybody, you know, in the who was left in the audience was substantial. Everyone kind of turned and looked his way because he was so tall. First of all, that was in itself something. And he had a cowboy hat on, skin tight t-shirt, skin tight blue jeans, big belt buckle, and on the t-shirt emblazoned
Superman.
"Vaginas are cool."
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Are yeah. cool. Yes.
And when I said no, he said, "Well, thank you very much," and he walked out, you know, and came back. But at least he was polite. That's the only thing that he was. But
and at least he was
complimentary
to vaginas.
Yeah,
general.
He had a stance
yeah.
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, or he could have been an Eskimo. Yeah, we had no way of knowing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my. Wow. Speaking of things. People and moments.
I threw you with Eskimo, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did. You
I did. I could see it.
We have to baptize Erin. We've done it with Bonnie, but
that's
she's,
right.
she's got to go through it again.
Erin,
so.
We always like to ask our guests at the end of the show to share a performance nightmare, a mishap that happened on
oh,
stage.
A performance nightmare.
Or just something funny or just something that happened in performance that might have happened to you that you can share. You know, if I usually give people a little more warning.
I know.
So
did you even?
Yeah.
So
I didn't like, mention it. I didn't
I was
mention
like,
it.
I got a heads up last
unless,
time.
unless you want to kick us off, you got to follow up to.
No, I was like, oh, I'm trying to think about it.
Performance or performance related? Does it on the stage, off the stage?
No, could be
okay,
off
so
stage too.
I was a member of an LA chorus for a year and a half, and it was my first day, and a couple of us went out to get a bite to eat afterwards. So we go out, and I'm. This is the story of my life is a calamity that I never know who I'm really talking to because I'm from LA. So celebrities just go in and out. So we sit down, and I'm sitting and talking next to this nice guy, and he tells me about his aunt that wants to study piano, and I've taught piano and voice on the side. So I said, "Oh well, I can teach her how to read music, no problem." And you know, I start giving him a whole lesson for, I don't know, about 15 minutes. I gave him a 15-minute music lesson. So then, and he was just going along. I said, "So, and what do you do again?" "Oh, he's a writer." "Oh, okay, great. So what do you write?" "Musicals." "Okay, great. Anything I might have heard of?" "Avenue Q." "Oh."
Is that Jeff Marx?
Yeah, Jeff Marx. That was my introduction to Jeff Marx. I'm like, great, great.
But you great, must well, admit, Jeff is very unassuming. You know,
he's completely
not
unassuming,
yeah.
And he totally threw me under the bus. He's like, "I'm not going to tell you anything about me," and I gave him a whole lesson. It was great. It was really.
He does that. He's very low key. He's a nice man.
I had sort of a Catherine O'Hara story like that. You know, Catherine O'Hara.
I love
who does
love,
all
love
the
her.
Does all the Christopher Guest movies and
yeah.
She's
amazing.
Just
yeah.
And I was in Abbot Kinney Pizza on Abbot Kinney Boulevard in Venice, which is Abbot Kinney Bagel Crust Pizza, phenomenal pizza if you haven't had it. They boil the crust like bagels, but they serve it like regular
wow.
pizza, and it's always crisp because that's the biggest flaw of LA pizza is that you can't get a good crisp crust. And I'm there with my brother-in-law, and he's just like, "Hey, who was the woman who played the wife in Beetlejuice? And I go, Catherine O'Hara. And he goes, yeah. I'm like, why do you ask? He said, because she's sitting right behind you. And I turn around and she just looks at me and just gives me a little wave and said, I didn't know you were here. I thought it was just a general discussion. She's like, that's okay. That's okay.
See, that's the story of my life, though. I have like a million stories.
Your life sounds a lot like mine, which is just sort of a series of embarrassments interrupted
Since
by
birth.
Like dining and
I kind
getting
of popped
drunk.
Out that way.
Very similar. Oh, it's so nice to have the two of you on.
Absolutely. And again, go see Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, everybody, at the Saban Theater coming up Wednesday, February 15th in Beverly Hills.
And for reservations, just as a quick reminder, it's Musical Theater LA. Theater is the R-E spelling. MusicalTheaterLA.org, not .com, .org.
That's right.
Just remember that. And so nice to have you both. And Michael, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul. Same here.
And we will see you all next week.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.